Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen, and our guest today is Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt Family of Agencies. Thanks for joining us again, Chad.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about employee practices insurance.
Now, yes, sir.
As a business owner, what is that? What is that? Why do I need it?
Yeah, well, employee practices, and one of the things that, and the reason why I wanted to bring this up as a topic is that it's a very important coverage that a lot of people have a tendency to not go out and get. In this particular time, and in the economy being what it is, circumstances are such that a lot of employers are in the unfortunate position of either looking at downsizing, or maybe in a situation where, you know, the layoffs are, you know, it's imminent. We don't have an opportunity. There's no other way. There's things that they should have in place as part of this to protect themselves, especially with what's going on right now. An employee practices liability is something that will cover you from wrongful termination suits. It will cover you in cases of sexual harassment suits that are brought against you, age discrimination, religious discrimination, basically operational things that, if someone has felt that they've been wronged, an employee has felt that they've been wronged.
Okay, Chad, we've had another guest on the show by the name of John Cameron, who's an attorney, and we talked about employment issues for employers, and we went through employment at will and some of those issues, and just talked about how to handle some of those deals. In this particular podcast, we're talking about this form of insurance, employee practices insurance. Now, can you explain to me how the insurance company that writes that and the insurance agent, you, how do you get involved in some of these things we're talking about, like a discrimination case? How does this work?
Sure. Well, to kind of back it up and to explain where employee practices kind of came into play, as stagnant as insurance companies or people feel insurance companies are, sometimes they evolve with the times. And employee practices is one of those coverages that evolved with the times. Back in the 80s, what was going on is insurance companies started to see claims being brought against employers for wrongful termination, sexual harassment, and a general liability policy was the expectation that that policy would pick it up. Well, a general liability policy, there's two main triggers, and that is bodily injury and property damage. Well, it's kind of difficult when somebody has been wronged to prove that there's been bodily injury, and that's where a lot of people were looking for the coverage on. So in 1992, carriers started to break off and write a separate policy called employee practices, specifically designed to cover just these particular claims that are being brought against employees.
So is there a question of whether or not a business owner has this coverage? If he's just got a general liability policy and he gets some kind of claim, is that covered, not covered, just a question?
Exactly. You kind of beat me to the punch. Where I was going with the evolution of employee practices is that when it first came up, the expectations of claims, they weren't sure what to expect. Mm. You know, the first to the feast are usually the ones that end up being the guinea pigs. So they just added this coverage to the general liability policy. So people were just getting employee practices. Market was soft at the time. People were looking for new products to introduce. What they didn't realize is what was going to happen, and there was a lot of claim activity. Ooh. So with the claim activity, they decided we need to get our arms around this a little bit better. We can't just include this on a policy anymore. We need to laser this thing out and write it separately, which is what is going on now. If you'd asked me 20 years ago, I guess it wouldn't be 20 years ago, 1992, but if you'd asked me in the mid-90s, is this on my policy, you would be able to find some type of coverage for employee practices on there. Wouldn't be a big limit, but you'd be able to find something on there. Now, I would say most likely, in almost all circumstances, it's not going to be built into that policy without an endorsement. People are going to want to know, and there's going to be a sublimit. You know, you're not going to have that $1 million in coverage. You're going to have to pay for that. There's going to be a deductible. So what deductible do you have?
So was this broken out as a separate item? Because I'm just envisioning that we talked about that underwriter sitting in the dark room with a green eye shade looking at all the claims that he paid. And one day he said, wow, we're getting a bunch of claims for discrimination. Let's make that a separate line item and we can charge more money for it. Is that where kind of where some of this comes
from? I'm not going to pick on the underwriter. They're not the evil people that you say they are.
Well, I just envision this guy in the back room.
Not to go on and make life difficult for people. The actuaries and the claims people were probably the ones that started at it saying, look, we're seeing a lot of activity and our loss ratios are through the roof. Companies will take a loss leader in a particular line if they can write the ancillary lines profitably. But if that one particular line of coverage starts to get so far out of whack, they need to pay attention to what's going on and how they can kind of manage it a little bit better, whether it be price, whether it be the coverage, whether it be, you know, deductibles. How do we have to adjust? We want to keep it out there because obviously it's valuable. Now, how can we keep it out there, keep it affordable? And that's where they started to implement different pricing structures based on the number of employees that you have, different deductibles, again, based on the number of employees that you have. And then they're going to start to loss control, back to that whole thing that we talked about on the other side. Do they have an HR department? Is the HR department proactive? What are their hiring and firing practices? Is everybody responsible for reading the employee handbook? Do they have that on file? How do they address these issues when they come up? Mm-hmm. You can never stop it from happening. You know, once it's done, and a person, an employee, can always bring it up, but you want to make sure that you've got this wall of defense put in place.
So we're back to loss control issues.
Exactly.
Again,
it's huge here.
Where
it's
the companies huge. Come out and say, if you do these things, we can minimize the number of claims you have.
And even though the market is soft, there's a lot of companies, when it comes to employee practices, because of the nature of the beast, if you do not have... Or if I should say, if you're not proactive on the management side, they simply won't write you because they know they're opening up Pandora's box.
I also wonder, what is the amount of the claims that they're receiving?
It varies wildly. You know, the limits that you see on there is something that you need to pay attention to, because built into a policy, if you see a $5,000 sublimit, which is the case on some policies, if you see that, you do not have enough insurance. Because the big thing here is defense costs. You know, the cost to defend in these cases, you know, $5,000 just gets that attorney warmed up. And Mr. Cameron would, I don't want to bring him on the line, but he'd be the first person to tell you that.
Let's not pick on John.
I don't mean to pick on you, John, but he knows as well as anybody else, if you've got an active claim, it's going to cost you more than $5,000 to defend.
And I'll apologize to all the underwriters out there, but we just learned that Simon Legree, Sam, is an actuary hiding in that dark room.
Now you got the right one to blame.
I got the right one to blame, the actuary. Okay, let's go back to a business owner now. You're trying to operate your business properly and take care of things, and sometimes things happen. Could be an age discrimination case, something like maybe I'm employed and I'm an old guy, and they decide you're out of here. I'm going to fire you. How do you handle those things, and how does this employee practices insurance factor into a proper termination or layoff?
Well, I mean, the situation there is it's kind of an HR issue, and it's legal as far as how you hire and fire somebody. Where the policy would come into play is, okay, Tom, I've decided that you're just too old for me, and I want to get a young body in here, so I fire you.
And you hired Miss Sam.
I'm going to get a much younger lady.
Good claim. I'm going to get you on that one.
It wasn't because of your job. It wasn't because you weren't meeting expectations. I fired you solely on that basis.
Just another pretty face.
Exactly. So what you file a claim against me for wrongful termination, age discrimination, then what's going to happen is that's going to trigger this particular coverage. So they're going to take a look at what had happened, how did it happen, what were the procedures in place. You know, now you've got a claim, and that's exactly the situation that this policy would come in. Defense costs are going to be your biggest thing, because if I've done everything right, if that's not the case, on my side, I signed off. I told you that here's the situation, here's what happened. You know, we fired him because of this. Tom was late. You know, 5 days a week, couldn't get here on time, you know, was leaving early, didn't hit his numbers.
I'm a bad man.
Yeah.
The suggestion is here, Chad, that if I'm that business owner and I've got someone that I want to lay off or fire for some reason, if you have this type of insurance, can you check with the insurance company first and say, here's the situation I've got, how do I handle this?
Yep, that's a great point, Tom. One of the things that you're looking for, and this goes back to when you're shopping your insurance and the services that are going to be provided by a carrier, there are carriers that provide monoline employee practices, and with it, they will give you a phone number that you can call and consult with an attorney, an employment attorney, explain what happened, explain what you plan on doing, and get their opinions as to how you do it properly. And that goes back to price not being the true value of a policy. Mm-hmm. What exactly are the services that you're going to be getting from that carrier that's going to help you in your daily business? So you buy a policy, you buy an employee practices policy, you have this situation come up, those defense costs are probably going to offset whatever premium you just paid. Getting good input like that and never having that claim come against you is going to save you that money that you would have been spending. You know, what a pain that would be to have to handle something like that yourself without having somebody who's been experienced and seen thousands of these things, you know, having your back.
Then you're really looking at how much money you've wasted and paying for it without having had any claims.
Yep.
It'll be nice to know as a business owner that you can call your agent if you have this coverage. They can call the company and put you in touch with an experienced defense attorney that handles these type of claims and just say, here's the situation I've got and here's what I need to do. Can you tell me how to do it? I mean, that's great input.
Yep. And some of these carriers,
valuable.
Yeah, and some of these carriers will go so far as to, they have sites. So what they will do is they'll give you a username and password. You can go to their site, which is called, it's going to be an online HR manager, and it's going to help you set up model policies to offset these exposures so that you're doing things correctly when you're hiring and firing. It's going to give you a template to follow. Now, obviously, you're going to address this with your attorney, but everybody needs a spot to get started. Everybody needs help. And if you're talking to your agent, again, we talked about letting them know your needs. If you know you've got an issue on these things, be upfront with your agent and say, look, I don't have an employee handbook. I know I need an employee handbook. How do I do this? And an agent then can set you up with these right parties.
Mm-hmm.
And cost effectively. You know, some of these people, there's carriers where this is available as part of your premiums paid. So if one offer is $1,000 and the next offer is $1,500, but they're providing legal consulting and they're providing an online HR service where you can go in, get model policies, get an employee handbook, complete it, you know you've got something to defend yourself in the event that something was to happen, that's worth more than $500.
Mm-hmm.
So again, back to that whole price thing. So many people look at the bottom line price and don't focus on that service. And with what's going on in the economy at times like this, these things should have been done a year ago if you haven't done them. But there's no time at the present. You know, you got to get started sometime.
Sam, Chad's really teaching us that if you've got an insurance agent that's an order taker and you pay the premium and he's not your partner and you don't communicate with him, you're really not getting the full benefit of what you should be getting from a good quality independent agent, are you?
No, and if something should happen or trigger an event, you are sunk.
It could cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, Chad, we've talked about agent discrimination. One of the other items that might be covered in employee practices is harassment suits. How do you prevent harassment suits? I mean, that's kind of a moving target. What do you
it's
do
so
with that?
It's so vague, too.
Yeah.
And it is vague. And that's something that goes back to working with an HR team and working with a company, an employee practices carrier that's going to provide you with these services where you can have that consultation. Where we have seen issues internally, we have not seen large settlements on employee practices because most of our people we have worked with and they have laid out their employee handbooks. They have a procedure in place to address these issues. If you want to lose a suit, don't address an issue. That's the one thing I can tell you. You know, somebody comes to you and says, listen, I was, you know, whatever the circumstance, I feel I've been wronged by this other individual. They said some things. They did some things. Address it. You know, when it's been addressed, then you're taking the right steps.
So you're saying if a business owner doesn't have an employee manual, he should create one.
Get an employee manual and get on it as quickly as possible.
And to get some input on that, call you and you'll get a hold of the carrier and the carrier can give you some tried and true policies or tried and true things to adopt. Is that what you're...
Yeah, going back to the discussions that you're having with your agent. You know, when you're out and you're talking about the situation and your concerns about what's going on and, you know, we might be downsizing this year or we're never sure, we've got some issues with some people, we're never sure how to address it. That's the time that you know, that call for help needs to go out to an agent to say, look, here's what my needs are. Go find a carrier that can provide me these things, you know, before something happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mr. Cameron, you know, back to bring him up again, you want to consult these things with an attorney, an employment law attorney, and lay the basis out. But again, you need to have a starting place, and you need to be thinking about these things right now. And what an insurance company is doing, because it's their checkbook that eventually this money is going to come out of, they're going to provide you with as much as they can, with as much knowledge and as much background help and resources as they can so that they don't have to see that claim.
It's all about prevention, isn't it?
That's exactly right. That loss prevention is what they want.
So when you're having your annual event, when you're shopping your insurance to try to make sure that you've got the right insurance and it's the right price, maybe also take a look at your employee manual and shoot a copy of that over to the insurance carrier and say,
they're
going to
want to see
input.
If you don't have employee practices in place,
they will want to see it.
They're going to want to see it. They're going to want to see that again, they're going to help you because they don't want to see that claim. And don't think that this is a hassle. They're not out there trying to just harass you. They're doing it because they've lost claims where this has happened.
So you learn from what they've learned.
Exactly.
Accumulate that information, shoot it off to Mr. Cameron, update your policy, update your employee practices manual, and away you go.
Need a good controller.
Need somebody. Need somebody to do that.
Well, you need to have those discussions as a business owner that we talked about. As you're evolving in your business, you know, you start to hire employees. You didn't have that exposure before. You didn't think about that exposure before. When you're hiring people, they always seem like good people. I mean, otherwise they're not interviewing well, and they need to take lessons on that end. So you're hiring somebody that you feel is, you know, on board as a team player and everything else. You don't know where that's going to go. You don't know how two people next to each other in a cube are going to get along. So what you need to do is figure out up front when I'm bringing these people on, insurance agent, Chad, this is Joe. We've got a situation. I've brought on some new employees. I got a change in exposure. What do I need to be thinking about?
Are there certain industries where this is showing up more often, the claims are?
No, it's across the board.
It is.
It really is across the board. There are some industries that I won't mention that have a tendency that seem to be more sales-driven. The sales individuals have a tendency to maybe be a little more vocal. I know. So, but I'm not picking on an industry. But
wild and crazy people out there.
It is across the board, and everybody has the, if you have employees, you have the exposure.
I think our producer's acting up over there. He must be one of those sales guys. Watch out.
Is there a size of company that you really recommend? I mean, over five employees, over...
You have an employee, I say you get it.
Oh.
Just to be honest with you. And that's not, I'm not saying that because I'm in the insurance sales business. I'm saying that when you have once you have an employee, you have the exposure. No different than workers' compensation. When you didn't have the employee, you didn't have the work comp exposure. Now that you have the employee, you've got a whole different change that's going on that you need to be addressing. You need to be calling your agent, telling him what you've done, telling him what you're doing in the future. You don't have to buy the coverage. You might know the person real well. But...
That doesn't always prevent something from happening.
That doesn't prevent something from happening, yes.
And these are not 1099s. This is strictly employee.
Well, you can have, actually, another thing that you can get into is third-party coverage. So if you've got a situation like you're a restaurant owner and you've got an employee that's working for you and that employee makes a comment about somebody else, a patron that's in the facility, a coverage can extend over to that. So that's not on every policy. Again, that's why you have unique situations that are out there. Not every policy is going to be picking up third party.
So this would be like an employee harassing a customer?
Exactly. Exactly. Makes a comment. Makes a comment about a person's, again, it's religion, whatever it may be. It's got to be proven. So these are difficult to prove. But exposure's out there.
Chad, you're going to make me stay home in bed and just not even go to work.
Well,
we talk about this.
Yeah, scribbling all the insurances we're supposed to have.
Can you give us an example? We've talked a little bit about harassment, and one of the things you brought up was retaliation. Can you give us an example of what type of an event might retaliation be a part of? I'm not quite sure I'm with you on that.
Well, if you want to talk about a situation that has a tendency to bring up employee-related practices, claim is having a company Christmas party, serving alcohol at a company Christmas party.
Tell me about this.
Well, you don't want to do that. unfortunately, and I don't mean to take all the fun out of this world, but you get people drinking. Yeah, you know,
so I have
to
cancel my Christmas party now, Chad.
Well, you might want to be careful about your company Christmas party. You may want to get it off the premises. You may want to don't make it mandatory to attend. You know, things like that. If you're going to have it on the premises, don't serve alcohol. That has a tendency to encourage people to do things they normally wouldn't do. Same thing with a spouse. You know, so if you're there with your spouse could be saying something to somebody else, could do something. You know, where people have a tendency to relax and have fun, not everybody's thinking the same thing that you are. And again, not to take all the fun out of it, but that's
where
we've had incidents. We've had incidents that have cropped up from there.
My paranoia is growing by the minute here. Can you give us an example of retaliation? I'm still not quite sure I'm up with that.
Well, an example of the retaliation would be, you know, you terminate somebody. I'm trying to think of an example where that would come up. We have not seen a lot of activity under that area. We have had sexual harassment suits brought up. We've had age discrimination suits brought up.
This be where maybe one employee was harassing another employee, and then the second employee retaliated on the first one. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about, or?
You know, I'm going to have to look into it because on the retaliation portion, I would be just venturing a guess at that particular point. Again, I've said we've not seen retaliation claims internally. If something has come up, it's been age discrimination. It's been we've had a religious claim brought up. An individual came in. You know, when the bigger your company gets, you want to be open to more cultures and things like that. But there also needs to be an understanding of sensitivity. And again, that's your HR manager that's having employee policies in place. That's taking a stance when somebody feels that they've been violated to and sit with the individual and say, okay, listen, what's going on, have those discussions, make sure that it's been addressed, make sure that the person's comfortable with it. Taking action is going to offset most of this stuff. Not taking any action and just looking the other way and telling the person, you know, I don't care, just get out of my face, I've got other things going on today, is going to lead to bigger issues.
I'm envisioning a scenario where two employees get into a fight and it turns into a knockdown, drag-out brawl.
And yeah, that's what I was thinking, too, for retaliation.
No, retaliation. And then whichever one gets hurt the worst the next day or the next month decides to sue the employer because you didn't have a safe workplace.
Yeah, you may have to look at a fellow employee exclusion on that for the work comp, too, because there are situations where you've got a work comp policy. We had a guy take a nail gun to another guy. You know, two workers that were out there that, yeah, the one fired the nail gun at the other.
Did he hit him?
He did. So, but you could have an exclusion on your policy for fellow employees. So if I do it to you, there could be an exclusion for that, and it wouldn't be coverage. Now, that's something that you want to talk to your agent about, but it happens.
I think
it has happened.
I think that would lead to a rightful termination.
Yeah, you may be able to skip some of the procedures.
Skip the nail right into your head. That'd be a terrible thing. What other type of things are covered by employee practices insurance that we haven't talked about?
Well, the people that are covered, you know, the company, the entity is covered. So if a suit is brought against the company, the officers of the company, they are covered under employee practices, and other employees would be covered. And again, we can get into third-party coverage too, where you've got coverage that would be afforded to individuals for things that they do to that third party, going back to the restaurant. A lot of people will exclude that. So again, you need to know what your exposures are. If you've got the public, if you've got individuals that are out there in front of the public a lot, or if you've got youthful individuals that aren't necessarily, you know, sometimes the mouth beats the brain, situations like that. And again, you have to have a procedure in place to say, look, there is a no tolerance, or, you know, your job can be on the line if the following, you're accused of the following. So, and the big thing with an employee policy is, you know, no matter what you do, you can't stop that claim from coming. So you might as well have an experienced team behind you, have those defense costs picked up for you.
Prevention, again.
It is the most important thing. I don't care what the line is for any type of insurance. Loss prevention helps, and it's going to save you money long term.
Now, we've talked to the attorneys on these podcasts about forming an entity and picking and choosing the correct entity, and we've talked to you about that. And then now we're talking about having the right coverages and employee practices insurance, and you mentioned a minute ago about officers and directors. Is this a situation where all these things dovetail together and you should consider D&O insurance as well?
Yeah, I mean, the directors and officers, there are policies that are out there that would protect your directors and officers, that will protect the managers. It's a management liability policy. What they've done is they've said, look, if you've got directors in a corporation, you might as well, you've got the employee exposure, let's just tie these all together under one. So they've built policies that are out there that will pick up directors and officers liability, which is decisions, covering decisions made by a director or an officer of the company. Another one would be the EPLI. And then if you've got retirement plans, if you have a fiduciary responsibility, you can also pick up fiduciary liability. Now, those can be bundled under one limit, or those can be broken out as individual limits. So you want to pay attention again to what are you getting for that price. If you see something that seems quite a bit lower than what the competition has out there, then the situation is you probably have everything bundled under one limit. Whereas if it's a little bit more, you probably have a separate basket of limits. So in other words, you'd have $1 million in coverage for your D&O liability. You'd also have $1 million in coverage for your employee practices, and then another $1 million for your fiduciary. You can see some where they share one limit.
Mm-hmm.
And that generally will bring the cost down because you've got less coverage. The other thing to pay attention to is the deductibles, because on a policy, you could have a separate deductible, even though it's all tied under one, you could have a separate deductible for each line. And then you need to be comfortable with that deductible. If you've had some claims or if you've had some issues, you're going to see a much higher deductible.
So if you're a business owner and you're out there and you've had these coverages and you've got your insurance in place and say, I've got liability insurance. How are you supposed to know? Do I have the right insurance? Are there gaps? Are these covered? How do you figure that out? Are you supposed to read that whole document and try to figure out what's in it?
Call your agent and ask.
Yeah.
I'm really not getting out of bed if I have to read those insurance policies.
Yep. You will see a separate line, and it will say right on there, employee practices, and it will tell you what the limit is, and it will tell you if there is a deductible or an aggregate deductible. It will all be broken out for you. So the easiest thing to do is, again, ask first, but also review your own policies. You know, just take a look at it. If you don't see it, if some of it can be built into your policy, you'd see a separate line item for it. So under your general liability, you'd see limits for your personal injury, for your product liability. And then down below that, you would see broken out employee practices. If you don't see it and you don't have a separate policy for it, you don't have it.
So really, over and over, we keep coming back to this. At least once a year, a business owner should sit down with their agent and say, let's look at these coverages and let's have a discussion of here's what I'm doing in my business and here's my employee practices and here's my manual and am I covered in case something I haven't thought about happens?
Exactly. Your agent, again, like we've talked about through all of these, should be part of the team. Don't hide things from them. Don't delay anything. If there's been any type of an exposure change, make that call. If you're contemplating making any decisions, if you're contemplating hiring people and you've got some concerns, before you do it, talk to them because there's options. You know, the options are better as it's getting started than they are down the road after you've had a claim. Because once you've had the incident, then they're concerned another incident's going to come up. So
any last thoughts about, we just touched on wrongful termination.
Mm-hmm.
That's a situation where an employer terminates somebody, lays them off. They feel like they've been violated and somehow they come back with a claim. There again, you can go to the insurance company and say, I've got a situation, I need to lay somebody off, and they give you some input so you do it right.
That's exactly right. Those services are available from certain carriers, not all carriers. And that goes back to the value of your premium dollar and not looking just at the price, looking at the services that you're getting as part of it. So it's not apples to apples. If I come in and tell you I've got $1 million limit and I've got a $10,000 deductible for your employee practices, and company B comes in and says, I've got the same thing, but guess what? I've got online training. I've got sensitivity training that I can provide to your employees in the event that something was to take place. You can do employee handbooks. There's model policies that I can get you in front of. And by the way, before something happens, I've got this team of consultants, these employee attorneys that you can call, and you can talk to them for up to an hour, 2 hours. It's going to vary from company to company, and they're going to be able to consult with you before you make these decisions or immediately afterwards.
So when a business owner is comparing the premiums, he should really ask you about where are the value-added services? Where can I get this input that I can get knowledgeable on a topic, go talk to my lawyer, implement it correctly, and try to stay out of trouble?
That's exactly right. And again, asking your agent what's available.
There's a lot more to insurance than we thought, isn't there, Sam?
Oh, yeah. I'm writing madly here.
Taking notes. Any final thoughts on employee practices insurance?
Not to scare everybody like we talked about before, but this is something that is extremely important. If you have an employee, you need to have this in place. Take a look at your policies tonight and then get comfortable with the limits. If you see $5,000 in limits, if you've got it and you see $5,000, I would challenge you that you don't have enough. Take a look at something. Call your agent. If you're not sure, if you can't find it, call your agent if you don't see a separate policy for it. And then at the same time, use that as an opportunity to discuss what other services are available. Don't hook me up with a carrier that's just going to give me some coverage that I don't know too much about. I want one that's going to be working with me that has a history of writing this, because it is a sophisticated line of coverage, and all policies are not the same.
Sam, okay. I'm getting a great appreciation for a good insurance agency and putting them through their paces to help you manage your business and control your risks.
Great partnership.
Well, I'm Tom Lyons, and I'm here with Sam Zordich and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. I'd like to thank Chad Nesbitt from the Nesbitt family of insurance agencies for being with us today to discuss discussing employee practices insurance on todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.